Numbers chapter 22. It is just so good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I'm so thankful for the privilege. Tonight we're going to look through the eyes of a donkey. This is a passage that just, it makes me smile because it is funny. It is funny. It is so, you know, you look and you think, it's so far-fetched. But then you look at the reality and it's so very true in the way that we are. Tonight we're going to look, beginning in verse 22, we're going to meet a man named Balaam. Balaam has been sent for by the king of Moab. His name is Balak. And he is sending for Balaam to come and to curse the children of Israel and try to stop their taking the promised land. And we're going to pick up in verse 22, and we'll do a little more background a little later on, but we're going to pick up reading in verse 22 as Balaam is on his way to visit the king of Moab, Balak. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? It says, "Then God's anger was aroused because he went. The angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?' And Balaam said to the donkey, 'Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you.' So the donkey said to Balaam, 'Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?' And he said, 'No.' Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. The angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I've come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live.' And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, 'I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back.' Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, 'Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak.' So Balaam went with the princes of Balak." Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word, where we may glean and grow in you. Lord, we pray that you would take this message and apply it to each individual life as is needed. You know everyone present, Lord, and you know the needs of everyone present. So, Lord, just apply your word tonight and your wisdom to each individual life that we may be better servants for you. We give you all praise and glory and thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, we're going to go back just a little bit and give a little more background. But in the first of this chapter, as I had mentioned before, we meet the king Balak, who was the king of Moab. And King Balak is observing as Israel is sweeping across their promised land. No one can seem to stop them. And it says about Balak and his people, it says that they were exceeding afraid and they were even sick with dread. Have you ever been that scared where it just made you literally sick? That's the way they feel. And Balak, so Balak, knowing Balaam, the man of God Balaam, he sends for Balaam, asking him to come and curse the children of Israel, because his reputation is who he curses, those people will be cursed, and who he blesses, those people will be blessed. And unfortunately, he didn't know that it wasn't Balaam that was the power, but it was the God of Balaam that was the power. And so anyway, he sends a delegation to go and bring Balaam in hopes to get him to curse the children of Israel. And they had it says verse 7 of this chapter, it says, they had in their hand a diviner's fee, going to hire this spiritual man to cast a curse upon them. So Balaam told them as they arrived, he said, listen, I can't do anything except what God tells me to do. So y'all stay here, and tonight I'll inquire of God and get his instruction. I'll get back with you tomorrow. So Balaam inquired of God. God told him, no, don't go. So he got up the next morning, told Balak's delegation, I can't go. God won't allow it. And so he sent them away. Well, Balak was not easily dissuaded, right? So again, he sends another delegation. And this delegation, he makes it important people. The Bible says they're princes. The higher ups in government, he sends back to them and says, please come. Now this time they don't come with a diviner's fee. They come with the instruction to bring Balaam and whatever it takes to get him there, get him there. And as far as price, as a matter of fact, as they approach Balaam, they say, name your price. Whatever you say, that's what I'll pay. So now Balaam's got a blank check. I don't know about you. You know, most of us are kind of from that point of view. It's easy to say no when it's not too tempting. But you got to imagine in front of Balaam, there is a man who said, I will give you anything. All of my kingdom, you know, anything that's in my power to give, I will give to you if you will come and curse the children of Israel. And so once again, Balaam said, I can only do what God instructs me to do. As a matter of fact, Balak can give me his entire house filled with silver and gold. And if God will not let me do it, I can't do it. So he inquires that night of God, and God talks to him. And God tells him, if they come again to you, you may go, but you only say what I tell you to speak. Okay, now imagine this. God has went from no, you can't, to if they come again, you can go, but only say what I tell you to say. So Balaam's interpretation of that instruction was, the next morning when he got up, he saddled his donkey and hit the road. Probably like you and I would do, right? I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity that has been set before him, a blank check. And so he gets his donkey, and two servants go with him, and they hit the road, and that's where the trouble begins. The angel of the Lord, it says, stands in the way as an adversary against him. And the funny thing is, Balaam can't see this angel. As a matter of fact, the donkey can see the angel, but Balaam cannot. So as they're traveling, the donkey sees the angel standing in the road, sword drawn. And that's what it says, standing in the way. That word way is road. Standing in the road, sword drawn, ready to attack. The donkey sees, and the donkey, being afraid, bolts out of the road and goes out into the field. Now Balaam, being the animal lover that he was and the compassionate, God-fearing man that he was, he begins to beat the tar. That's what we used to say in desert growing up. He begins to beat the tar out of that donkey. you know? And he gets that donkey beaten back into the road, and they continue their journey. They go a little farther, and they're passing a place where there are vineyards on both sides of the road. And beside these vineyards, they have built walls. And once again, walls on both sides of the road, the angel is standing in the middle of the road, sword drawn. Sword drawn. If you come any closer, it's certain death. Balaam doesn't have a clue, but the donkey sees. So the donkey, faced with either being beaten again or getting around or going through this angel, the donkey chooses to go over against one of the walls. And the Bible says he crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Balaam, being the compassionate, God-fearing, loving man that he was, again, begins to beat the donkey into submission. Then finally, the third time, the angel appears, it says, in a narrow place in the road, sword drawn, and there's no way around him. And the donkey sees, but Balaam does not. So the donkey has to make his decision, and the donkey just decides to lay down underneath Balaam. And Balaam, it says he became angry. I'm sure it was a godly kind of anger. And he began to beat that donkey like he had never beaten that donkey before. You know, somewhere along the way, it comes to my mind, would not a good, godly man question what's going on? But Balaam sees his opportunity of a blank check. His opportunity to pursue riches. And so this hasn't ever occurred to him that God just might be trying to tell him something. So he begins to beat that donkey with all his might. And then the donkey speaks. Now that's the second red flag, is it not? I have never spoken to a donkey. But this donkey speaks, and the donkey says, "Why are you beating me?" And the red flag never goes up. Balaam says, "Because you're abusing me, and you're just lucky I don't have a sword in my hand, because if I did, you'd be a dead mule, you know." Just completely losing it. And he doesn't consider that something might be going on. And then finally, the angel opens his eyes and he sees what's going on. He sees this angel, sword drawn, ready to slay him if he comes any closer. And as I thought about it, this is kind of a one-point message, okay? Can you deal with a one-point message? Say amen if you can deal with a one-point message. Okay. Most people get up in the morning, go to work, come home, deal with their family, take kids to ball practices, do what has to be done until bedtime, go to bed, get up the next morning and start all over. And you know, there's nothing wrong with all that. But the problem is this. Most of us don't ever stop to consider, what is God trying to do in my life? Where is God leading? What does He want in my life? You know, a few months ago, we started having meetings with our leadership council and our deacons. And one of the questions I posed to them is, why are you here? Why are we, Victory Missionary Baptist Church, here? Well, you know, I mean, there are a lot of answers to that. We say, well, we're here to glorify God. We're here to serve the Lord. The only problem with that is very vague. And so it never establishes the fact of what God is literally trying to do in the lives of individuals. You know, life is more about more than just getting up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, and getting up tomorrow and do it again. Do you realize you are where you are because God has placed you there? And God is doing things in your life. He's either preparing you or you're serving Him on a daily basis. God has a purpose in you. And tonight, that's my challenge, is to look for every day as a gift from God. And when we get up in the morning, it should be looking for God's desire in our life. Looking for God's direction in our life. Otherwise, we're just completely oblivious. Like old Balaam. It'd take a mule talking to some of us to wake us up. You know, confession time. Do you believe every day is a gift from God? Amen. It is. And it is a gift to be used for His honor and for His glory. And it is, we should be looking for, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Last week, I said it was confession time. Last week, I just had an interesting experience. I was visiting with Brother Dale. And, you know, you'd think I'm a pastor. I ought to get up every day looking for God. Lord, where do you want me to go? But I'll give you some insight. The preacher is human. Okay? But anyway, I'm visiting with Brother Dale, and we're out in the vestibule here, and I look outside, and this vehicle drives up, and this black man gets out of the vehicle, and I think, oh, no, I know what's coming. I know what this is about. He wants money. Well, first thought to come to my mind was, I really don't have time for this. And he come in, and I thought the nice thing to do would be to hear him out. Come to find out, he had come to Arkansas because they were fixing to put his 91-year-old mother in the nursing home in Forest City. And he said, I just couldn't stand that. He's from Phoenix. And he said, I just couldn't stand that. And he said, I come to get my mama. He said, while I was here, my car blew up. He said, I brought enough money, but my car blew up. And so I had to trade vehicles. And it took all my money. They wanted more. They wanted $600 trade in between my old car and the car that they were trading me. And he said, I don't understand that. I said, probably because your car wasn't running, right? But anyway, all the man wanted was gas to get on down the road. And as I talked to him, I come to realize, standing there, and I asked him about his relationship with the Lord and gave me his testimony. He was a saved man. Then I got to meet his 91-year-old mother who was in the car, who was a saved lady. Got to meet his wife that was in the car who was a saved lady. And we talked and we visited a little while. Took them to the gas station. Filled their car up with gas. They had to hug me. And then they got in. They went on down the road. And I walked away and I thought, my goodness, Lord, how close I came to missing that. And that was my blessing because it was an opportunity to meet a brother in Christ. It was an opportunity to share godly love. And quite honestly, it didn't mess up my day at all. It kind of made it. You know? But the point is, you got to look for where God wants to work in your life every day. I didn't tell you that to brag. I told you that because I almost blew it because my eyes weren't open to where God wanted me to serve. And I wondered how many times have I missed the blessings of God because I had my plan for that day, for that week, for that month, and for that year. And I was so blinded by my own pursuits that I couldn't see a direction that God had for me in my life. And I thought of this story and I thought, wow, the eyes of a donkey. If we could just see what a dumb animal saw. You know why the donkey saw? Well, I realized that God was involved here. But his mind wasn't trashed with all his personal goals, ideals, and plans. He said, the angel told Balaam, he said, I came out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. That word, perverse, kind of has a dual meaning, and it means to turn away from what's right in God, but it also carries with it the idea of a reckless rushing ahead of God. You remember in this story, God said, if they come again, you go with them, but you say what I tell you to say. Balaam said, okay, he got up the next morning, saddled his donkey, and hit the road. You know? It was a reckless rushing in front of God. A day that we go without looking for the hand of God in our lives is a reckless rushing ahead of the God that we serve. Every day is an opportunity. Every day is a blessing given by God Himself. Every day we should wake up saying, here am I, Lord, send me. The Apostle Paul put it like this, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Every day that we give up, that we get up, is an opportunity to give ourselves to the Lord. Don't be blind to what God is doing around you. Tonight you may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Most important thing, you need to know where you're going when you die. Okay? This life is not going to last forever. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Are you a child of God? You see, if you've never called upon Jesus, asking Him to save you, my friend, you're not going to heaven. All right? And you need to go to heaven after this life is through. Amen. The good news is Jesus said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight you're a prayer away from salvation. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't even deserve it. You see, Jesus took care of that on the cross of Calvary by dying for you and for me, by paying for our sin. And He now says, come unto me. Tonight all you can do is come unto Jesus, you who are weary and heavy laden, and He'll give you rest. If you're not a child of God, we're going to have a verse of invitation. This invitation's for you. Will you please come forward and give your heart to Jesus? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for this example that's given us. Lord, so often we're blinded by our own pursuits. We're blinded by what we want to do. And so often we don't look for opportunities that You place before us. We don't seek Your will in our lives. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. And help us to be mindful that we are Your servants, bought and paid for by Your precious blood. And You have given us this life to serve You. Lord, we want to do that. Keep us mindful every day that we rise to use that day for Your honor, for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.